The Lamb of God, from Exodus until Memorial. I saw in the midst of the throne a lamb standing as though it had been slain. Revelation chapter 5, verse 6. The first Passover lamb delivered Israel's firstborn from death, who were under the protection of its blood, and eventually all of Israel. Subsequent Passovers have been annual memorials of that first Passover to remember the deliverance of all Israel, as well as a mixed multitude. The Passover lamb in Egypt was a type, an allegory, of Jesus Christ, who did taste of death for every man. Each year since then, we gather to remember his sacrifice. This do in remembrance of me. Exodus chapter 12, verses 1 through 6. Exodus chapter 12, verse 14. Deuteronomy chapter 16, verses 1 through 6. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9. Romans chapter 5, verses 18 and 19. Luke chapter 22, verse 19, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 24 and 25. Exodus and the Divine Plan. The Exodus holds a greater meaning for today's reader. Psalms recalls the plagues in Egypt and God's deliverance through the sea. Psalms chapter 105, verses 26 through 37, chapter 136, verses 10 through 15. Revelation chapter 11, verse 6 prophesies that the first Egyptian plague, the waters turned to blood, pictured an event long after the Exodus from Egypt. Chapters 15 and 16 place the antitypical seven last plagues following the opening of the temple, which was the beginning of the resurrection of the saints after Christ's return. The Apostle Paul described Moses' leading Israel across the sea as a baptism of the people unto Moses. He then declares that it was a type, allegory, example, figure of things to come. They were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends, completion, of the ages are come. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 and 2 and 11. In brief, Moses coming to Egypt pictures Jesus at his first advent. Egypt pictures this present evil world, while the 10 plagues begin with Jesus' first advent and end during his second advent. The slaying of the Passover lamb corresponds to the sacrifice of the true Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. The deliverance of Israel's firstborn signifies the deliverance of the church of the firstborn during Christ's second advent, while the death of the Egyptian firstborn corresponds to the mutual destruction of the rulers at the end of this age. The seven-day feast of Passover begins, in reality, with the deliverance of the world by resurrection in the thousand-year kingdom of Christ, summarized in Studies of the Scriptures, Volume 6, The New Creation, the first three pages of Study 11, The Passover of the New Creation. The 10 plagues are in two groups. The first three are administered only by Aaron and fall on both Egyptians and Israelites. Moses administers the last seven, and Jehovah puts a division between his people and Pharaoh's people. The 10 plagues span the Gospel age. When Moses takes the dominant role during the seven last plagues, he typifies Christ at his return, taking the dominant role against the evils of this present evil world. At the same time, Jehovah God separates his people by calling his people out of Babylon, "Come forth, my people, out of her, that ye have no fellowship with her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues." Revelation chapter 18, verses 1 through 4. What might the first three plagues typify? Each should represent something between Christ's first and second advents, something that should hurt the worldly order and yet not free faithful Christians from persecution. This writer suggests the first three plagues were the fall of the Roman Empire, the Reformation, and the French Revolution. After Israel was delivered from Egyptian bondage, they observed the seven-day feast of unleavened bread, which was divided into three parts. 1. For the first 3 days, Moses took Israel to the edge of the wilderness, or the desert, and to the edge of the sea. 2. On the fourth day, Pharaoh and his military hosts again threatened Israel, but Moses, by God's instruction, parted the sea for Israel to cross safely. Pharaoh and his hosts tried crossing, but were bogged down and destroyed. Exodus chapter 14, verses 1 through 28. 3. Israel then journeyed 3 days in the wilderness to fulfill its original mission and sacrifice unto Jehovah their God. Exodus chapter 7, verses 2 and 16, chapter 8, verses 20 and 27. For the first 3 days of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, Israel was no longer under the influence of Pharaoh and the leaven of corruption. This may typify the thousand-year kingdom of Christ. The encounter with Pharaoh and his hosts typifies Satan being loosed for a little season, a short time, for one last attempt to destroy God's people. But Satan and his army are fully destroyed in second death. Revelation chapter 20, verses 7 through 10. The last 3 days of the feast then typify the perfect ages of eternity, the ages of the ages, commonly translated forever and ever, and the whole perfected world will serve Jehovah God forever. Thus, the Passover lamb and the following Feast of Unleavened Bread show us that the divine plan of the ages will bring the world of mankind into harmony with God forever. Exodus focuses on the Passover lamb. The biblical account of the 10th and last plague is given in more detail than any of the other plagues, Exodus chapters 11 and 12. Its Passover lamb was to be a male without blemish. Jesus is the Lamb of God, John chapter 1, verse 29, Revelation chapter 5, verses 5 and 6. Holy, guileless, undefiled, separated from sinners, Hebrews chapter 7, verse 26. It is the sacrifice of our Passover lamb that is to deliver not only the faithful church from death, but also the whole world. The lamb was to be roasted. Eat not of it raw, nor boiled at all with water, but roast with fire. Jesus did not shrink from a full sacrifice of his life, either during his ministry nor at the cross. Eating the Passover lamb was to be accompanied by unleavened bread and bitter herbs. Exodus chapter 12, verse 8. The fully consecrated Christian must appropriate only uncorrupted teachings. These come from the Bible, which is the Word of God. It describes the voluntary sacrifice of Jesus Christ as a ransom for all, by which he did taste of death for every man. By him, God shall wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 6, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9, Revelation chapter 21, verses 3 and 4. With bitter herbs they shall eat it. Exodus chapter 12, verse 8. Jesus said, "Remember that I said unto you, a servant is not greater than his Lord. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you." John chapter 15, verse 20. We are not to shrink from bitter experiences we encounter if they result from faithfully following our Lord's example. A memorial of the Passover lamb. In type, or symbolically, the Passover lamb was the focal point for the deliverance of all Israel from slavery. This day of sacrifice and deliverance was never to be forgotten. This day shall be unto you for a memorial, and ye shall keep it a feast to Jehovah. Throughout your generations ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. Exodus chapter 12, verse 14. These observances were not to be a repeat of the Exodus, but annual reminders of the Lord's deliverance from bondage. Slaying Israel's Passover lamb typified the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, our Passover lamb. His sacrifice will deliver the entire world from bondage to sin and death. Similarly, our annual memorial observances are not a repeat of Christ's sacrifice, but are reminders of Christ's sacrifice once for all. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 27. As through one trespass condemnation cometh unto all men, even so through one act of righteousness, justification of life cometh unto all men. For as through the one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, even so through the obedience of the one shall the many be made righteous. Romans chapter 5, verses 18 and 19. This do in remembrance of me. Luke chapter 22, verse 19. The Passover Day at the Exodus. Few, if any, difficulties with Scripture are encountered if, at the time of the Exodus, Nisan 14 began at sunrise. The Passover lamb was slain, roasted, and eaten, all during twilight, between the two evenings. Exodus chapter 12, verse 6, Numbers chapter 9, verses 3, 5, 11, Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 6. Israelites were not to leave their houses until morning. Exodus chapter 15, verse 22. They were to be ready to leave at daybreak, at the urgent demand of Pharaoh and other Egyptians. Exodus chapter 12, verse 11, and 30 through 33, which after sunrise was on Nisan 15. Numbers chapter 33, verse 2. The prohibition against leaven began with the slaying and eating of the Passover lamb and bread at sunset on the 14th, mid-14th, and continued throughout the daytime of the 15th through the 20th and ended at sunset, mid-20th. This was the seven-day feast of unleavened bread, Exodus chapter 12, verse 18. This explanation depends on the assumption that in Egypt, and for at least a year later, the day was reckoned as beginning at sunrise. There is support for this in Scripture, Genesis chapter 19, 34, where yesternight is distinguished from the morrow. Even in Matthew chapter 28, verse 1, KJV, and ASV, Mark chapter 11, verses 11 and 12, Acts chapter 4, verse 3, Leviticus chapter 23, verse 32, and in archaeology, Richard A. Parker, The Calendars of Ancient Egypt, Studies in Ancient Oriental Civilization, 26, 1950, page 10. That between the two evenings means a period after sunset is shown first by Exodus chapter 16, verses 12 and 13, where a migratory quail ascend from the sea to the heights of Sinai as darkness begins to set in at even, and Israel then eats them between the two evenings. That it is not from one evening to the next, but only a few hours at most, is shown in Exodus chapter 30, verses 7 and 8, where the tabernacle lamps in the holy were to be trimmed in the morning and lit between the two evenings, that is, when it is becoming dark, so that their light is needed. In later times, there was a change in location for observing the Passover, by command, Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 6. There may have been changes in the hours also, more likely for practical reasons.